Gaur Premanande. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Paribrajakacharya Ashtottarashato Shri Srimad Abhay Charanarvinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gop Gopinath Shyam Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Shri Mathura Dham Ki Jai Shri Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai Shri Mayapur Navadip Dham Ki Jai Ganga Mai Ki Jai Jamuna Mai Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Tulasi Maharani Ki Jai Harinam Sankirtan Ki Jai Samabeto Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai Gaur Premanande All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschattari Sutta Srila Prabhupada Ki Are you comfortable there? Go ahead. Generally, I conduct the class in Hindi. So what should I do today? Should I, if I give the class in English, how many of you think it's alright if I do it in English? Oh, most of you. Okay. And how many of you will have difficulty in Hindi? I mean, in English. Okay, Dhanashri, you can translate for your mother. Okay? Who can translate to those who need in Hindi? You can do that. Okay. For the Matajis, who can do that? Aisharya? Okay. Okay. Aisharya. Kon kon Hindi anuvad ka zarurat hai? Kisko? And, acha. Tumko bhi hai. Hindi ka zarurat? तो अगर मैं हिंदी में इंग्लिश में क्लास दिया क्योंकि काफी लोग तो यहां अंग्रेजी समझते हैं और मेरे गुरु भाई और गुरु बहन यहां हैं तो आए हैं तो इसलिए मैं सोचा आज हिंदी में क्लास देते हैं सॉरी इंग्लिश में क्लास देते हैं तो हां तो ठीक है तुम तो साथ में ही बैठे हो Aisharya can translate into Hindi. Or jisko haan, yahan Krishnarchan anuvad karenge. हिंदी में सो वी गिव अ क्लास इन ऑन कृष्णस पास टाइम्स लाइक सिंस आई केम आई एम गिविंग दिस क्लास दिस एवरी इवनिंग फ्रॉम 5 to 6 एक्सेप्टिंग येस्टरडे एंड डे बिफोर येस्टरडे डे बिफोर येस्टरडे इंद्रदुम्न महाराज केम So everyone was receiving him. And yesterday was Ratnaradhika and Aditya's wedding. So that's why we didn't have the class yesterday. So far we discussed up to killing of Aghasura and Brahma's bewilderment. Brahma became bewildered. He couldn't make out who Krishna is. Brahma, in one way, he was thinking, maybe this is my Lord Narayana. Because he saw Agasura's soul left his body and hovering on the space until Krishna came out of his mouth, dead body's mouth. And as Krishna came out, his soul merged into his body. So, seeing that, Brahma started to wonder who this is. Is this my Lord Narayana? Because he could see that Agasura got Sajuja Mukti, merged in the body of the Lord. Although great, such a great demon, but being killed by the Lord, he got the Sajuja Mukti. So he was wondering whether he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But then when he was watching what was happening, he started to watch Krishna. Let's see what this boy does. Because his understanding of his Lord was four-armed Narayan, but here is a cowherd boy. So then, when he was watching him, he saw that it is a little boy having a picnic. Because all the cowherd boys and cows were dead in the when Agasura swallowed them. They all were dead. But just glancing upon them, Krishna revived them. And they all woke up as if they were dreaming. And they came out of what they thought was a cave. And so when they came out, they started telling Krishna, "Krishna, today we are feeling very hungry." "We are feeling very hungry." So immediately, they went into a picnic. Krishna said, "Okay, let us release the calves, or let us let the calves graze, and we will eat. Let us sit on this soft sand on the bank of Jamuna, and let us eat." So when they were eating, Brahma saw that the boys are eating something, and when they like something, they said, "Oh, this taste is so nice, Krishna. Look what my mother cooked for me. What my mother cooked, or what my mother prepared, this sweet." So Krishna take, and although they ate it, half of it they ate, and they're giving it to Krishna, their remnants. So it's considered to be contaminated. Food when eaten, it is called jutha, contaminated. And Krishna happily is eating all that. So Brahma thought, how can my Lord Narayan eat somebody's remnants? And how can anyone ever dare to give Narayan his remnants? So then Brahma became confused, bewildered. So Brahma stole the calves just to test Krishna. And then all of a sudden they saw no calves. Right in front of them the calves are grazing, and all of a sudden they saw that the calves are gone. So everybody became very perturbed. What happened to the calves? Then Krishna said, "Don't worry, you all keep eating. I will go and see what happened to the calves. Maybe they have gone inside the forest." So Krishna went looking for the calves. Couldn't find the calves. Then he came back and he saw this, all the cowherd boys are also gone. Their food is just there with on the plates, but none of the cowherd boys are there. And so he started to wonder what happened. And then he realized what happened. Brahma stole the calves and the cowherd boys. So Krishna said, "Okay, Brahma, you want to check me out? See who I am." So Krishna expanded himself into all the cowherd boys and into all the calves. And Brahma put all the calves and cowherd boys into sleep and he kept them in a cave. And then when Brahma looked back, he found the same scene is going on. All the calves are grazing and all the cowherd boys are having picnic. And Brahma got completely confused. He looked at this side, sees that the cowherd boys and calves are having picnic. And this side he looks and he sees that the boys and the calves are fast asleep in the cave. Then again he looks here and he sees that they are having a picnic. He looks there and he sees that they are sleeping. And then when Brahma looked again, he saw that these cowherd boys are not cowherd boys. They all are Narayans, four-armed Narayans, with conch, lotus, disc and mess in their hands, four hands. And not only the cowherd boys are Narayan, he saw even the calves are Narayans. So then Brahma realized that this is not just Narayan, this is the origin of all Narayans, the supreme personality of Godhead. So that was Brahma Mohan Leela. After that, there is one very nice incident where Balaram's prowess was displayed. All this while Krishna was killing all the demons. Krishna killed all the demons. Putana, Trinavarta, Shakatasura, Vatsasura, Bakasura. They all were killed by Krishna. But one demon was killed by Balaram. Who is that demon? Dhenukasura. Dhenukasura. Dhenuka means an ass. Ass demon. Donkey. So one day while they were playing in the field, tending the cows, then all of a sudden the boys started to feel hungry. The young boys often feel hungry. And at that time they were very close to one tal forest. Tal is a big purple fruit, very fragrant. So the boys saw the tal fruit and said, Krishna, we want to eat those tal fruits. Then some of the boys said, no, don't go there. In that forest there is a demon called Dhenukasura, donkey demon. And Dhenukasura is very, very envious. Whoever goes there, he just kills them. So let us not go to that forest. Then some of the boys said, who is afraid of this Dhenukasura? We have Krishna. So why should we be afraid of anybody? We have Krishna and Balaram. Then some said, this Dhenukasura is very powerful. Nobody can defeat him. And the other boy says, who is more powerful than Krishna and Balaram? They are the most powerful. Don't you see the name Balaram? He is the most powerful. So why should he be afraid? And everyone said, yes, yes, we have Krishna Balaram with us, so there is no need to be afraid of anybody. And Balaram got excited. He said, yes, I am there. So why should he be afraid of anybody? Come, let's go. And Balaram went, and all these trees were full of this ripe tal fruit. And tal fruits, tal trees are like a huge palm trees. They're actually a kind of palm trees. And so Balaram got hold of the, grabbed the tree and started to shake one after another trees. And as a result of that, all the tal fruits started to fall with a thud, making a big noise. And all the boys were laughing and excited there, eating the fruits. And Dhanukasura heard this noise. And he felt that who came, who dared to come to my field? And he just went out, came out of his den. And he saw these cowherd boys. They are just eating all the fruits of his garden. So he got very angry and he saw Balaram is shaking the trees and the tal fruits are falling. So Dhanukasura just went to and charged at Balaram. And when the Dhanukasura came, generally, the donkeys, how they attack, you know, they kick with their hind legs. So he tried to kick Balaram with his hind legs, but Balaram just grabbed his hind legs, grabbed him by his legs, and picked him up and started to swing him over his head. And he, by the time Dhanukasura's life air left his body. And then he let Dhanukasura go. And his body went flying. And the tal forest was so dense that when Dhanukasura's body fell, like a pack of cards, have you seen? Like when it, like one after another it falls. That's what happened with all the tal trees. Like one tal tree fell on another one, that tree broke. That tree fell on another one, that tree broke. And in this way the whole tal forest became smashed. And seeing that, Dhanukasura's relatives became very upset. So they also came out and attacked Krishna and Balaram, thinking that these are two little human babies, human children. They are causing disturbance to us. But then Krishna and Balaram grabbed one after another and did the same thing. Just smashed them on the ground and they all left their bodies. So all the demons ran away. So, this is how Balaram killed Dhanukasura, the donkey demon. Then, one day, the boys were in the field and they were grazing the cows and they were playing. Then all of a sudden, they started to feel hungry. So they told Krishna and Balaram, Krishna, we are so hungry. Please do something about it. So Krishna said, look, nearby, the brahmanas are performing a big sacrifice. So you go to the brahmanas and tell them that Krishna and Balaram are here. And they are hungry and we are his friends. We are also very hungry. So Krishna sent us to you to get some food. Now, all the sacrifices are actually meant for Krishna's pleasure. And here Krishna himself is asking for the food that they are offering. But what did the Brahman do? Most of them just didn't pay any heed to what the boys were saying. They just carried on, didn't pay any heed. But some of them scolded the boy. You little uneducated children, don't you know that before the sacrifice is complete, one should not ask for any food? In this way they chastised him. So they, heartbroken, they all went back to Krishna and Balaram and said that, look, this is what the brahmanas this is how the brahmanas behaved. So Balaram became very angry. He said, they dare to behave like that? Let me go. I'll just spoil their whole sacrifice. I'll kick all their pots. I will scatter all their sacrificial arrangement. I'll go, what do they think they are? And but Krishna stopped Balaram. Krishna said, no, Balaram, don't get angry. After all, the brahmanas have to be respected. So Balaram became pacified. So then Krishna told the cowherd boys, now you go to the wives of the brahmanas and you go and tell them that we are here in the forest and we are hungry, so we wanted some food. So the cowherd boys went and told the brahmanas' wives. And just as soon as the brahmanas' wives heard that Krishna and Balaram are nearby and they are hungry, they took all the food that they were preparing for the sacrifice and they started to go towards Krishna. Everyone tried to stop. What are you doing? These are all arrangements for the sacrifice. You are leaving everything. And don't you know that the housewives should not leave home like this, running after some other boy? So, but these Brahmana wives didn't listen to anybody. They just went straight to Krishna. And with all the food, delicious food that they prepared. Then Krishna and Balaram and the boys had a big feast. And then Krishna said, thank you all very much, now you go back to your house. So the brahmanas' wives said, look, we can't go back home now. Because the way we left home, nobody will accept us at home. Our elders told us not to leave. Our husbands told us, even our grown-up children told us not to leave, but we didn't listen to anybody. And we left everything, we came to you. So please don't ask us to go back. We just want to be with you. Then Krishna advised them and told them, don't worry. When you go back, you'll see that everyone is very favorably disposed to you. No one is angry with you. So, being persuaded like that, the brahmanas' wives went back to Krishna, went back to their respective homes. And then their husbands came in a very apologetic mood and said, you all are so fortunate. You recognize Krishna and Balaram. But although Krishna Balaram came so close and personally asked us for the offerings that we are actually making for their sake, we were so bewildered that we couldn't understand them. We couldn't recognize them. So although you are our wives, and you are our subordinates, you are junior to us, but today we learned a big lesson from you. And so this is how the brahmanas admitted that when there is Krishna consciousness, it doesn't matter whether one is senior or junior, we must accept it. And admitting our own mistakes. So in this way, Krishna and Balaram took care of the cowherd boys when they were hungry and taught a very nice lesson to all of us, pointing out that the ultimate goal of life is to serve Krishna. Everything is meant for Krishna. There is no one in between. And this point has been pointed out time and time again in Srimad Bhagavatam, in 10th canto, in the Vedic scriptures, through Krishna's pastimes, like Krishna bewildered Brahma. So from this we understood who is greater, who is greater? Krishna. Krishna is even greater than Brahma. Another time, if anybody thought that the demigods are great, greater than Krishna, Krishna performed another wonderful pastime to teach a lesson. What is that pastime? The Govardhan Puja. One day Nanda Maharaj, one morning Krishna noticed that Nanda Maharaj is very busy. And not only Nanda Maharaj, all the cowherd people are very busy arranging different things, as if a big thing is going to happen. So, Krishna asked Nanda Maharaj, "Father, what are you doing today? Why are you so busy?" Nanda Maharaj at first didn't want to reply because he knew that he's so busy today, and if Krishna, tells Krishna anything, then Krishna will come up with 1,000 other questions. And he won't have any time to do what he is doing. So then Krishna went and told Nanda Maharaj again, "Father, why are you not telling me? Please tell me what are you doing. Why are you so busy today?" So Nanda Maharaj said, "Look, we are arranging for the worship of Indra today. We are arranging for Indra Puja." So Krishna asked, "Father, why do you do Indra Puja?" So Nanda Maharaj said, "I told you if I..." One question will lead to 1,000 questions. Anyway, you see, Indra gives us rain. And we are cowherd people. We need rain because rain is essential for cultivating land, growing food, growing grass. We are cowherd people, we need green grass, and that's why rain is very important. Then Krishna said, "Does it rain because you worship Indra?" Nanda Maharaj started to think, okay, now all my whole day is going to go answering the questions to this boy of mine. Anyway, so he said, "Yes, it rains because Indra is the god of rain. When he is worshipped, then he gives rain. When he is worshipped, he is pleased and then he gives timely rain." Then Krishna says, "Well, in the middle of the ocean, there is no need for water, there is no need for rain. And in the middle of the water, in the middle of the ocean, no one worships Indra. Then why does it rain in the middle of the ocean?" So Nanda Maharaj thought that makes sense. Then he replied, that because we worship Indra because it's our tradition. For generations we are doing it. It is our custom. Like every year on this day we worship Indra. So Krishna asked, "Is this a Vedic custom or social custom? Is it a Vedic custom or a social custom?" Nanda Maharaj thought for a while and he said, "You see, when the social customs are executed for many, many generations, then it becomes a tradition. And it is as good as Vedic. And as I told you, we are cowherd people, and we need rain, and therefore, we need to worship Indra." Then Krishna said, "Father, actually, if it is a matter of tending the cows and developing the cows, then actually we should be indebted to Govardhan. See, from the name itself you can see, Govardhan. Cows are increased by the mercy of this Govardhan. And you see, where does our cows graze? They graze on the foothills of Govardhan. There, all the water they need, it comes from the fountains of Govardhan, springs of Govardhan. And Govardhan is providing us with everything that we need. So let's go and worship Govardhan. So Nanda Maharaj thought, that's a good idea. And although Krishna at that time was only 7 years old, but everybody listened to Krishna. Whatever Krishna said, they just accepted. So Nanda Maharaj said, okay, since Krishna is saying, let's do that. What do you all think? And everybody said, all the grown-up cowherd people, Nanda's brother Upananda, Sunanda, they all said, yes, yes, let's do that. And they took all the the articles for the worship of Indra to Govardhan and offered an annakut. Annakut means a mountain of food, mountain of anna. They stacked all the chapatis. First they spread banana leaves. Huge area was covered with banana leaves. Then they put all the chapatis. Then on top of the chapatis they put the parathas. Then puris. Then rice. Various kinds of rice was prepared. With that they made a hill. And then on top of that they put all the sabjis, pakoras, and sweets. And all different types of foods were put together in a huge mountain. Huge mountain. And then now not only the mountain has to have some fountain also. So, the ghee was flowing continuously through that mountain. And then they saw that Govardhan assumed a human form. Govardhan was huge. That's his peak was touching the sky. And this form is as big as Govardhan Hill. And he's sitting there. And with his right hand, he's taking the food and eating it, putting it in his mouth. And with his left hand, he is mocking Indra. And one amazing thing happened, that while he was taking the food, with his big hand, that place was immediately replenished with the food. And in this way, he was just eating. And they saw that that huge form looks exactly like Krishna. One big Krishna, mountainous Krishna, is sitting there and eating. And there is a little Krishna, 7-year-old Krishna, with his arms on his waist, arms akimbo, he's looking at Govardhan. One Govardhan was eating the food, and one Krishna was eating the food, another Krishna was watching that Krishna eating the food. So in this way, when Govardhan ate to his full satisfaction, then they fed all the people there. First, the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, then elderly people, young children, and then they fed the servants and other, whoever came there, had a big feast, Annakoot feast. And then they went out on a parikrama of Govardhan Hill, with the cows in the front and women and children on bullock carts, and the men behind them, they did the parikrama. And in the meantime, Indra was getting ready to get his big warship. He got dressed up, put some perfumes, decorated himself. He was waiting for the offering. But then he saw that all the offering that was actually meant for him is being offered to this hill, Govardhan Hill. So Indra became very upset. What happened? And then he found out that because this 7-year-old boy told the cowherd people that they should worship, they should offer the worship to Govardhan instead of Indra, they are doing that. He felt very angry that people are, look what is happening to the people. Kali Yuga didn't begin as yet. It's still Dwapar Yuga, and see what is happening. The Kali's influence already started. People are forgetting dharma. They just listen to a little boy and they are rejecting the injunctions of the scriptures. So they need to be straightened out. They need to be chastised. So Indra immediately called Samvartaka cloud. Samvartaka cloud is the cloud of devastation. At the time of destruction, annihilation, the Samvartaka floods the whole planet. And so he calls Samvartaka, although it was not the right time to call him into action. So he told, go and inundate Govardhan, inundate Vrindavan. So he also told storm and cyclone, tornado to all accompany him. So they all went to attack Vrindavan. And all of a sudden the residents of Vrindavan just saw that there was a dark cloud moving very fast from the northeast side. And that cloud all of a sudden just moved and surrounded the whole sky. And seeing that, Krishna, they became very afraid. They ran to Krishna and said, Krishna, Krishna, see, Indra must have been so angry he has sent the rain for devastation. So Krishna said, don't worry. Get all your animals together and come under this hill. Govardhan will protect you. Don't worry. Saying that, Krishna just lifted Govardhan. Now the question may arise, how can a 7-year-old child lift Govardhan? But here we are talking about a child who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just by his will, he is making innumerable universes float in the space. So for him, does he need to even touch the Govardhan Hill? No. But it has been described that Krishna at that time assumed his Vishambhar form. Vishambhar form means with the form that he is protecting the entire universe. And assuming that form, Krishna just lifted Govardhan and placed it on his little finger of his left hand and held it like an umbrella. And all the residents of Vrindavan, they just immediately wanted to go under it. And while they were going under it, they saw that there is a beautiful staircase. It was the cavity that was created by lifting Govardhan. Not only just created a hole, there's a beautiful staircase leading, huge staircase, wide staircase leading. And for the animals, there's a ramp. Because the animals cannot go through the staircase, through the ramp, they went down. And when they came at the bottom of it, they found that it is not just a cavity created by lifting of Govardhan. There's a beautifully decorated hall, huge hall. The floor of that hall is made of beautiful onyx and marble. The walls of that hall is studded with the most brilliant jewels, and that those jewels are giving out the light, and that created a beautiful effulgent area there. There was beautiful light coming from those gems. And not only that, they found that in different places, the piles of beautifully prepared prasadam. So they just went underneath, and for 7 days they stayed there having a wonderful festival while Krishna held Govardhan. And sometimes Krishna was also making some fun. Sometimes Krishna made it appear as if the Govardhan was shaking on top of his hand and it's about to fall, slip out of his hand. Then immediately Nanda Maharaj and Balaram and everybody, they, with their stick, they propped it up. So in this way, they had a wonderful time under Govardhan Hill for 7 days. So in the meantime, the news went to Krishna. I'm sorry, news went to Indra. That at first actually Krishna sent lightning to find out what's happening in Govardhan. So lightning went back in a flash and said, "My Lord, there is not a single soul to be seen in Vrindavan." Indra was very happy. "Oh, so everyone, all the animals, all the residents of Vrindavan are dead?" I said, "Yes." But then, the wind reported to Indra that no, not a single soul died. Eating all the food that was meant for you, that mountain became so strong, it went up in the sky, flying, and all the residents of Vrindavan went under the hill, and the hill is giving them protection like an umbrella. And nothing happened to them. Then Indra thought, mountain flying. There was one mountain that used to fly. It's called Mainak Mountain. But I cut the wings of Mainak, and since then it went under the ocean. So did Mainak grow its wings again? Anyway, with thunder I cut the wings, so I'll smash this mountain also with the thunder. So saying that, Indra started to strike the mountain with thunder incessantly. But nothing happened to the mountain. Nothing happened to the mountain. Because Krishna was holding it, the effect of thunder became ineffective. So then Indra started to wonder what happened. Who is this boy actually? That it is he who lifted this Govardhan, holding it for 7 days without any fatigue. And my thunder, incessant shower of thunder, incessant attack of thunderbolts is not affecting. So who is this boy? So being little perturbed, not little perturbed, being extremely perturbed and afraid, he went to Brihaspati, his guru. Said, "Gurudev, this is what happened." Brihaspati said, "Indra, you made a big mistake. You know who this boy is? This boy is Narayan himself. He's not Narayan. He's Narayan's Narayan. He's the origin of Narayan. So you made a big mistake. So Indra started to tremble. Oh, I have caused dissatisfaction to my Lord. So what should I do, Gurudev? So then Brihaspati said, see, yes, Krishna is really sure very angry with you because what you have done. You wanted to harm his devotees. You wanted to harm his cows. You do not know how dear his devotees and cows are to him. And you wanted to harm them. You don't know what Krishna is going to do to you now. Krishna can tolerate anything, but Krishna can't tolerate any insult and injury to his devotees. Anyway, so you do one thing. You take Surabhi, the celestial cow, the daughter of Surabhi from Vrindavan. So you take Surabhi. Surabhi is very dear to Krishna. And you, just by seeing Surabhi, Krishna's anger will subside. And then you come out and beg forgiveness from him. So Indra then went and appealed to Surabhi. Surabhi became very excited. Now she has an opportunity to see Krishna. He said, yes, yes, sure I'll go. Don't worry, Indra. And then Indra knew that if Krishna saw him before seeing Surabhi or along with Surabhi, Krishna will be really upset. So what did Krishna do? What did Indra do? Indra held on to Surabhi's tail. And hiding behind Surabhi, he just went to Krishna. And Surabhi went and she bathes Krishna with her milk. And then when Krishna's anger subsided, then Indra came out and begged forgiveness from from Krishna. So this is how, through this Govardhan Leela, what did Krishna teach? He taught one thing, is that there is no need to worship demigods. For material benefit, there is a custom to worship the demigods. But when one is worshipping Krishna, then there is no need to worship the demigods. Those who do not know Krishna, those who haven't taken shelter of Krishna, they may worship the demigods to fulfill their desires. But when one worships Krishna, then there is no need to worship the demigods. And no matter whatever the situation is, Krishna will give protection to his devotees, no matter who it is, how powerful that person is. When a devotee takes shelter of Krishna, following Krishna's instructions, Krishna will always give him protection. He'll do all kinds of amazing things, like he may lift up a huge mountain, to protect his devotees. And in this way we saw the supreme position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Thank you all very much. So today I'll leave up to here. Does anybody have any question or comment? Bhati Gopal Prabhu, do you have any comment? Hare Krishna. Yes.
In which mellow are this Brahmana's wife? Vatsala or Madhavi?
It is a mixed mellow. No, actually, it is Madhurya. They felt attraction to Krishna, but it was not pure Madhurya. It is Madhurya.
Under 7 years. It was at that time below 7 years.
Yeah, but Krishna is Krishna's activities are so wonderful that it, I mean, in a way you can say it's Vatsalya, but the way they behaved, it was kind of Madhurya. But Vatsalya and Madhurya doesn't blend. So that's why it is, there may have been some attraction, but Krishna told them to go away. Go back to their husband. And it is said that that's the difference between the Brahmana's wives and the gopis. When he told the Brahmana's wives to go back, they went back. But when he told the gopis to go back, the gopis had nothing doing. We are going to stay back.
Sanjay mentioned that Krishna cannot tolerate somebody disturbing his devotees' account. But now we see, especially in this age of Kali Yuga, so many slaughterhouses are there and so many cows are slaughtered. So how can we see like how Krishna is now able to tolerate things?
Once Prabhupada told me that the karmic principles are very, very complex. It is very difficult to make out. And this is the age of Kali. So whatever is happening is unavoidable. See, the Brahminical culture is go Brahmana, Vedic culture is go Brahmana hitayacha. But now that Brahminical culture is destroyed, the cows are being slaughtered and no Brahmanas. No one is following the Vedic culture. So that is the situation of the age of Kali. Another way to look at it is, you see, all these people, those who are slaughtering the cows, they are going to be slaughtered also. So maybe many of the cows that are being slaughtered are those who slaughtered the cows before. And as a reaction, they are being slaughtered themselves. So, and you know, the age of Kali is like that. And that's why we see that Prabhupada did not really go out of his way to stop the cow slaughter. Because if we get caught up with this stopping this cow slaughter, our main purpose of Sankirtan will be lost. There won't be any time for that. Rather, by establishing Sankirtan movement, when the Vedic culture will become properly established, cow killing will automatically stop. Because if you get too much caught up with the cows, stopping of cow slaughter, then there won't be any time for, you know, practicing the Sankirtan movement. So that's why Prabhupada said, you know, just chant the holy name and spread the culture of Sankirtan movement, the rest will automatically happen.
Indra tried to kill all the residents of Vrindavan. So this is quite similar to, or probably even worse than what Kamsa wanted to do. I mean, Kamsa wanted to kill Krishna, and the demons who were sent by Krishna also harmed few of the residents of Vrindavan. Indra actually wanted to kill all the residents of Vrindavan. So Indra is supposed to be the greatest demon in that sense.
Well, sometimes the demigods, because of their excessive pride and mundane attachments, they behave in a very, very inappropriate way. But the good thing is, when somebody comes and gives them the right advice, they accept it. Right? When they recognize that it is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then they come to their senses. He was thinking that Krishna was just an ordinary human child. Right? That's why he was behaving like that. But when he realized that Krishna is Narayan, he immediately came to his senses. That's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it is that after all it was Krishna's pastimes, arranged by Yogamaya. In these pastimes, Indra was meant to play a certain role. And he played that role. Right? In that role, he was portrayed as a demon, and he played the role of a demon, being Indra. But then, he came back to his senses. So ultimately, it is all Yogamaya's arrangement. And eventually, all of Krishna's pastimes are like a play on a stage. Different actors are playing different roles. Someone is playing the role of a demon. So just like on a stage they play the role, they become that character, but off stage, they are all friends. Right? Because they're just actors. So Krishna's pastimes is also something like that. Different, like consider, like Jai and Vijay. Who are they? Playing the role of a big demon, but actually, they're two associates of Narayana. But the only difference is that on the play it's an unreal platform. But this is a real platform. A play is happening on a real platform. But after the play is over, then we can see that it's Krishna's pastimes. Yes, Dhanushree? Yeah. Actually, Brahma went and prayed to whom? Shirodakshai Vishnu. Right? But who he saw now is a human child. He didn't recognize that it is Narayan who came as Krishna. Or it is Narayan. Krishna is Narayan. He couldn't recognize. This is also called the arrangement of Yogamaya. It is Yogamaya that made Brahma forget who Krishna is. If somebody comes to your house every day, will you fail to recognize him? Now Krishna comes to Brahma once every day. So how can Brahma fail to recognize Krishna? So we have to understand, it's Yogamaya who bewildered Lord Brahma. Understood? Okay. Yamuna Priya? Oh, okay. Yeah, there was a question. Yeah.
Kishore Maharaj wants to ask that, as you said, Krishna doesn't consider seniority when you serve him. Who is senior and who is junior? So Maharaj is asking that there are people who are into the society for so many years who still might not be so senior as the ones who have come recently. So how do we know who is senior?
Who is senior? Well, from your angle of vision, from your perspective, you see who is senior and who is junior. But from Krishna's perspective, everyone is junior to him. Okay? To Krishna, everyone is junior. But still, Krishna plays the role in Vrindavan as if someone is senior to him. Krishna plays that role.
In your seminar on Krishna Samhita, you had mentioned how different demons have been compared to different anathemas. So, Dhenukasur is probably compared to false ego.
Dhenukasur is the asura of stupidity. You know, what is a donkey? Donkey is very stupid. Right? So, what is that stupidity? That the fruits are meant to be, fruits of your work is meant to be offered to Krishna. But what the materialistic people do? They try to accumulate their fruits. Don't want anybody to enjoy it. They have their money. Where to put it? In the bank. Right? They don't want to use it in Krishna's service. So that is the ass demon. He donkey carries the big burden. Right? Thinking that if he doesn't work so hard, he won't get any food. But what is donkey's food? Grass. And there's grass everywhere. Right? But because a donkey is a donkey, he thinks that unless he works so hard, he won't get his food. All the food is there in abundance. So this is the mentality of the people who are attached to the reaction of their karma. Karmis. They're working so hard from morning till night, thinking that if they don't work, then they won't get any food. Whereas the food is not, the food is in abundance. There is no scarcity of food. And the food is being given by Krishna. It is not that because of their work they are getting the food. The food is given by Krishna. So this Dhenukasura is that ignorance or the tendency to be attached to karmic reactions. And then who comes? Balaram, the original spiritual master. And he kills that Dhenuka demon in us. And teaches us, why worry? Just surrender unto Krishna. And he will take care. Right? So you just consider your life. Are you better off in the temple or when you're working? Although you're working hard, maybe much harder than you were working at that time. Right? But those days you were working for your boss, as an ass, for some carrots, which was hanging in front of you. But now, you're working for Krishna. And how is the life now? Much better? Thank you. Yes?
Maharaj, in the beginning you told that Brahma, when he saw coward was converting to Narayan, he realized that he is not Narayan, but the Narayan of Narayan.
Narayan of Narayan means origin of Narayan. Narayan is Narayan.
How can he,
Krishna is also Narayan.
How he came to this sense?
Who?
Watching Narayan, and
because he saw that Krishna expanded into so many Narayans. He knew only one Narayan. And now he is seeing there are so many Narayans because Krishna expanded himself into those Narayans. Right? Krishna's expansions are Narayan. Because Krishna expanded into those cowherd boys and the calves, that's why they all are Narayans. So then, Krishna is the origin of all Narayana. Sarvakarana Karana. So I'll stop now. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande.